Let's go to Hebrews 5. We're still studying Luke 6, so we're still maybe today we get off thoughts and imaginations. But Hebrews 5 is sort of culminates it. Anybody know where Hebrews is? I know where it is. I'm kidding. That's really helpful. Let's start in verse 14. No, let's start in verse 12, I'm sorry. Verse 12 of chapter 4. I'm sorry, we have to go back.
So 12 of 4?
Mm-hmm, chapter
4.
You sit over here.
I got it.
The whole idea of chapter 4 is the exhortation to enter the rest. It's repeated over and over. Today, while it's still called today, harden not your heart, is in the provocation. You harden your heart by what? You harden your heart when you leave your first love. Your first love is always the sense of the presence that never leaves. It's his presence. And so when you harden your heart, you harden it by leaning on your own arm of understanding. And that by definition will harden your heart. And you will return automatically. You'll fall from the strong city. You'll return to time and space. And you will again begin the process of living in the land of the whore, cause and effect. And grace and mercy and peace will become far from you. And so this whole mystery of God is really about staying in eternity, not going back and forth between time and space, not giving any breath to your thoughts or your ideas, or even your identity. Do you understand? You must lose your identity. Because your identity was invented by you in the first place. And then finally, identity is replaced by personality. And personality has no thought for itself. It just is. What?
It's very challenging.
Well, we haven't even gotten to the challenging part yet.
I know, I'm getting set up. Go ahead. No, let me say this real quick. It's this place of rest that we speak of. I know myself, and I know me, and I know that I see the rest, but I realize I can't define it when I'm there, because the minute I define it, I'm not in the rest. I'm me. Created my own concept of what rest is, and now I'm playing religious. So being in the rest is no opinion, no thought, no
awareness of self.
None. And that's the challenge I was speaking of there.
All right. Yeah. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fail or fall after the same example of unbelief. And then this strange series of words come in here now that doesn't seem to be have anything to do with the rest. But the word of God, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the word is always, from the standpoint of God, it's always, the word is the preaching of the cross. There is no other word. If there is any other word besides the preaching of the cross, then the word is something they're trying to manufacture by the use of words. This Bible isn't the word of God. It's the most pristine words about the word that we have. It's the test for all other issues which are the words, which claim to be the word. That's why it's so critical that what we ended with yesterday. If any spirit, any incorporeal message comes from your mind, comes from externally, comes from tribulation, comes from anything, if it comes to you, you know that's that number one, you've left the rest. If it doesn't do these three things, there's a number of things. It has to define that it's finished. It has to say that you own all things. It has to say that you have been perfected by one offering. It has to say that you are exactly as you should be. And it has to say it's finished. Now, if that word doesn't say that, which is meaning, what all that says is he is come in the flesh, then that word that you're receiving from your mind or any from some how-to book or listening to something, that word is an antichrist or from the antichrist. Doesn't matter how beautiful it might seem. Does everybody understand that? You have great plans. Chiz had great plans for his life. He was CEO and highly respected. Then poverty hit him. The inability to complete something that was set before him. Praise God, that's the only way. The same is true for everyone in here. If you hadn't experienced that poverty, that inability to complete, you would not have been here. Nobody in his right mind would choose to be here. So now, we said all that to get back to here. For the word of God is quick. It means alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even. Dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the preaching of the cross will automatically, instantly show you that you've left the mercy seat because you're thinking about some idea, some plan, some thing, some project, some idol. So you leave peace. You sold your birthright for some stupid little moment of thing. This is why taking no thought is so critical to the mystery of God. This is why not giving any breath to anything that doesn't meet the standard of truth is so important. All right, so now, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. That's you. And it's not, and if you have the, if a preacher has the discernment of an ant, he can tell whether or not you are here or not. You can feel it when it leaves the room. When the peace leaves, it sucks the energy out. You have no concern. You have no issues. You have no need. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. It's finished. It's complete. It's perfect. No matter how many times your mind struggles and moves towards options. You can see it, you can feel it, you can smell it. It's either all done, or my God in heaven, don't even think about what you have to do. Amen. What? Amen. And if you have concerns for your family, that's not your business either. For when the Lord is done commanding you, his disciple, then he will go and preach and teach in your cities, in your families, and your loved ones. But if you put your family before your before him or before this position, then everything will fall. That's to you.
That's hard to accept that it's not your business. We had a situation in my family. Well, fell out who it is or what, but we all made it our business for 20 years to affect change. And all of a sudden, it hit after about 20 years.
Amen. Okay, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. For he was in all points tested or tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Because the time of need is on his only purpose is more revelation of him. For every high priest is taken from among men. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant. I like that one. That's another one. Who can have compassion on the ignorant. And on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is so compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought as the people so also for himself to offer for sin. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God as was Aaron. So Christ glorified not himself to be made high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And it saith in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. And though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now I said everything I've said to get to here. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, among seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And it becomes such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, that doesn't sound right.
What do you mean? Well, that is very good.
What?
That was a very good line reading. Well, that doesn't sound right.
Well, it doesn't.
Well, no.
Because our whole position, we're supposed to be in the place where we take no thought for ourselves whether something is good or evil. We live in dependence on the Father for everything. But what does good and evil mean after the cross? It only means one thing. Good is agathos, that which is in compliance and alliance with the mystery of God. Evil is kakos, that which is the opposite of that which is the mystery of God.
Kakos.
You done?
That's Russian for kakos.
Anyway.
Kakos.
He likes that word.
You got him on ignorant, too.
Huh?
Agathos and kakos.
Agathos. Agathos is the noun form of agapeo. Agapeo is the verb that just means something you give breath to or importance to. Agape is a unique word that was coined by the scriptural writers to define that love which is only from God. But every time you get, everybody gets all a little confused. It says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy soul and your mind. Well, that means agape. No, it doesn't. It means give breath only to him. So what do you mean? What does it mean to give breath to? What you give breath to is what you worship. So the idea of seeing whether something is in line with good or agathos, or from God's perspective, evil, which is kakos. That's the only. It's as simple. It's as simple as knowing the difference between, you know, I don't know, a
spirit and flesh.
Huh?
Spirit and flesh.
Well, I know, but and your soul is always part of the flesh. It's always your you-ness, the thing that made you you, that has to be transformed, because the you that you are right now is invented. You've invented you.
Agape love is.
It was first coined for the Septuagint.
Okay.
Back in 165 BC.
And the word agape love is to define that.
It's love without knowledge of self.
We receive that from.
No, we receive Christ.
Okay.
Christ is love.
So agape, we receive, yes, we receive, but also can we give, share, or spread that agape? Or is that?
That's what's done. Agape being Christ,
okay.
That was done, that was shed on all flesh. All flesh knows it. The mystery has been preached to every creature under heaven. Anytime you come to the end of yourself, there he is.
You can't express the love of God without dying.
If you ever think you're expressing the love of God, you're not.
Gothic?
It doesn't have anything to do with it.
Okay.
It's a different language.
Okay.
All right. So the test for every single aspect of your mind, and that's what we're going to, in your every imagination, every idea, is whether it is agathos or kakos. And there's no in between. All of the whore, there's only two left. There's only the bride and the whore. And you're either a member of the bride or you're a member of the whore. You're either a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy. There's no in between. There's no neutral. The bride is of agathos. The whore is kakos. Kakos is cause and effect. Agathos is emptying. And his revelation. Without consciousness or regard for yourself.
No gray.
There's no gray at all. And that's why it's so easy. And that's why it's so hurtful. To see people I love in kakos. And so my response to you when I see that may not be love like you define love. My response may be to kick your ass.
That's how I define love.
Well, I know, because you're weird.
Getting your ass kicked. I'm kidding.
He's not. I'm kidding.
But you're weird.
Shut up, Chiz.
No, I'm being weird.
It's so simple. It's either of eternity, and the only way you can be of eternity is of Him, or time and space. I'm done with time and space. I have no more interest in it. It's interesting to think about cosmic things sometimes, but it's just not nothing. There's nothing worth giving any importance to. And I promise you, you fall from that strong city the moment you leave this agathos and return to something that sounds so needful and sounds so necessary. But it's just crap. That's why the Lord's Prayer, you can't even, you've heard, we talk about this all the time, but this prayer is huge. It was taught to us by God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thine, hallowed. If there's anything that I think is not right, if there's anything that isn't finished, if there's anything that I think I have a need, if I'm judging down anyone, if I've got any aces in the hole, if I've got any options, I must, oh, Father, forgive me. Because the prayer can't continue. You give all those things to the Father. You lay them on the altar. And then once you've laid something on the altar, it is a death penalty to take it back. So now, can I say, hallowed be thy name? Do I see this mystery? If I do, then I can proceed. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Praise God, because I know about that. The experience that I had when I visited was mind-bending. It was joy unspeakable. It was love beyond love. It was light without a source. It was warmth from no source. It was everything. So thy kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the bread of the presence. Give us more and more of Him. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. Is there somebody you haven't forgiven? Then God help you. If you haven't forgiven yourself, God help you. Because He can't forgive you until you have forgiven others, including yourself. And lead us never inward into this thing of temptation. But to the contrary, deliver us from this evil one. For thine is the kingdom, not mine. Thine is thy will, not my will. The power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you see the majesty of that prayer? And yet we trivialize it by repeating it by rote, even with the wrong words. And let's go back one more verse. Let's go to Genesis 8. The scriptures say that Noah condemned the world with his obedience. Well, that's pretty heavy. And all God is waiting for is for his people to hear that seventh angel sound within them and say, the mystery of God is completed. Time is no more. There's 1,000 stories about Noah that are from the Talmud and other ancient writings that are just fascinating.
But in that obedience, he didn't have to say a word often, did he?
No. But anyway, so they're in the ark, of course, is Jesus Christ. I believe that we are in a time of humongous trouble. I believe that we are in a time of greater apostasy than the world has ever seen. Blessed knowledge of God, the mystery of God is just thrown in the streets. Truth is drowned in the mud of human condition. And we're just living a lie. But we're in the ark. In him. And now the ark rests in verse 20. Well, in verse 15. And God spoke unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, all flesh, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. And every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And so Noah builded an ark, builded an altar unto the Lord. There's only one altar. The only altar, that is, it's always at the same place. The altar is always in the temple. I mean, you don't have a bunch of altars running around. Do you know how this? Adam and God made Adam and Eve cloaks of animal skin. Those were the two most valuable things on earth for centuries. Nimrod, anyway, that's a long story, I won't go into that. But then another thing, that there was something called the Zohar, and it was this light that was inside the ark. And inside that, and anything that came upon that light, it put them into a state of almost, it was even more hibernation than hibernation. And the only one that was awake during that time was Noah, according to the Talmud. And so everything went into this suspended animation during the time of the ark. And so there was no food, or they didn't need food or water. They didn't need anything. And then that thing became the most valuable, along with the skins who were supposedly taken into the ark. They became the most valuable thing. Those two things were the most valuable things on earth. The Zohar and the skins. And then there's all kinds of stories about how Nimrod was able to steal them from Esau and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the point of all this, is what he says now in verse 21. In 20 and 21. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offering unto the Lord on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor and said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, because of man. You understand what he's saying? The ground is already cursed. He's not going to curse it again for the sake of man's stupidity. Because he said, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now what's that? What he's saying is, there's no more, the rest of the Bible says that there's no more flooding, there's no more flood, but now the next thing is you have to pass through the baptism of fire. And that's what we are awaiting. But you got to hear this. The only thing that will pass through that baptism of fire is that which came from eternity. The only thing that came from eternity was Jesus Christ. So we, the best we can be, are friends of the bridegroom. We are of the bride, but we aren't the bride. The best we can be is a friend of the bridegroom. Our life is Christ. It is, can be nothing else. But it can't be an awareness of self. That's the mystery. That's the mystery of the seed. That's the mystery of your human body. The moment one of your cells becomes aware of itself, then it begins to consume the cells around it, and that's called cancer. So there's a cancer in the body of Christ that's beyond measure. It's incurable. But there's a few. Just like there was a few in each that need to be pulled out of the fire. Anybody have any response to all this? I don't know why I went in this rant today. Probably because of Chiz.
Thank you. Yes.
No.
Okay.
Anytime you have to think up a question, forget it.
Oh, it's not a question.
And anytime you have to think anything up, forget it.
No,
how about that one?
It's an interview. It's a long discourse.
Listen, one more thing and we'll quit. I said that last time, didn't I? But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That's Jude 20-23. Then now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Some save with fear. Some, what does it say? And some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Do you hate the garment spotted by the flesh? I pray that you do. I pray that your senses have been exercised to discern soul from spirit. I hope you give breath to nothing that is time dependent. And I hope, above all things, that you stop playing any little games with your mind or your emotions. It's just spiritual masturbation. It's meaningless. Amen? Amen. What now, Chiz?
Amen.
Okay, that's a big amen, I hope. Mr. Bojo, Mr. Pete, Mr. Chiz, and Mr. Oli meeting at 9. Take a big guy.